Across the street, the furtive patient of Dr. Stockstill's, a man black in color, black hair and eyes, light skin, wrapped tightly in a big overcoat, itself the color of deep night, paused to light a cigarette and glance about. Stuart saw the man's hollow face, the staring eyes, and the mouth, especially the mouth. It was drawn tight, and yet the flesh hung slack, as if the pressure, the tension there, had long ago ground the teeth and the jaw away. The tension remained there, in that unhappy face, and Stuart looked away. "Is that how it is?" he wondered. "To be crazy? Corroded away like that, as if devoured by..." He did not know what by. Time, or perhaps water, something slow but which never stopped. He had seen such deterioration before, in watching the psychiatrist's patients come and go, but never this bad, never this complete. The phone rang from inside Modern TV, and Stuart turned to hurry toward it. When next he looked out onto the street, the black-wrapped man had gone. And once more the day was regaining its brightness, its promise and smell of beauty. Stuart shivered, picked up his broom. "I know that man," he said to himself. "I've seen his picture, or he's come into the store. He's either a customer, an old one, maybe even a friend of Ferguson's, or he's an important celebrity." Thoughtfully, he swept on. To his new patient, Dr. Stockstill said, "Cup of coffee? Or tea or Coke?" He read the little card which Miss Purcell had placed on his desk. "Mr. Tree," he said aloud. "Any relation to the famous English literary family? Iris Tree, Max Beerbohm?" In a heavily accented voice, Mr. Tree said, "That is not actually my name, you know." He sounded irritable and impatient. "It occurred to me as I talked to your girl." Dr. Stockstill glanced questioningly at his patient. "I am world famous," Mr. Tree said. "I'm surprised you don't recognize me. You must be a recluse or worse." He ran a hand shakily through his long black hair. "There are thousands, even millions of people in the world who hate me and would like to destroy me. So, naturally, I have to take steps. I have to give you a made-up name." He cleared his throat and smoked rapidly at his cigarette. He held the cigarette European style, the burning end within almost touching his palm. "Oh, my God," Dr. Stockstill thought. "This man, I do recognize him. This is Bruno Bluthgeld, the physicist. And he is right. A lot of people, both here and in the East, would like to get their hands on him because of his miscalculation back in 1972. Because of the terrible fallout from the high-altitude blast, which wasn't supposed to hurt anyone. Bluthgeld's figures proved it in advance." "Do you want me to know who you are?" Dr. Stockstill asked. "Or shall we accept you simply as Mr. Tree? It's up to you. Either way is satisfactory to me."
"Let's simply get on," Mr. Tree grated.
"All right." Dr. Stockstill made himself comfortable, scratched with his pen against the paper on his clipboard. "Go ahead."
"Thus, an inability to board an ordinary bus, you know, with perhaps a dozen persons unfamiliar to you, signify anything?"
Mr. Tree watched him intently.
"It might," Stockstill said.
"I feel they're staring at me."
"For any particular reason?"
"Because," Mr. Tree said, "of the disfiguration of my face."
Without an overt motion, Dr. Stockstill managed to glance up and scrutinize his patient. He saw this middle-aged man, heavy-set, with black hair, the stubble of a beard dark against his unusually white skin. He saw circles of fatigue and tension beneath the man's eyes, and the expression in the eyes, the despair. The physicist had bad skin, and he needed a haircut, and his entire face was marred by the worry within him. But there was no disfiguration. Except for the strain visible there, it was an ordinary face. It would not have attracted notice in a group.
"Do you see the blotches?"
Mr. Tree said hoarsely. He pointed at his cheeks, his jaw.
"The ugly marks that set me apart from everybody."
"No," Stockstill said, taking a chance and speaking directly.
"There, there," Mr. Tree said.